Now, these past few weeks, the warning has been going out. Watch out for fake goods. Watch out for fake presents. Watch out for counterfeits. That's what Trading Standards have been warning Christmas shoppers in November and December. Christmas counterfeits. Counterfeit CDs. That cello one, that wasn't fake, was it? No. Good quality. That's the trouble with fakes. Fake DVDs, fake CDs. Quality's not going to be as good. You're going to be disappointed. But fakes can also be very, very dangerous. Fake perfumes are doing the rounds that when you put them on, they burn the skin. You don't want that. Be careful of fake perfumes. And then you've got fake children's toys with very small parts, which are very dangerous and are made by some toxic materials. Some of them have lead in, so you can get lead poisoning. So be careful of those. And also be careful of fake electrical items, because they can have missing components or dodgy components, poor quality components that can lead to electric shocks, to fires and explosions. So be careful, be on your guard. And we're going to show a little video now, which is from the electrical safety people who are saying, be careful, be on your guard against counterfeits. And it's Charlie Says. Who remembers Charlie Says? Oh, quite a few people remember Charlie Says. Back from the 70s, these were the safety adverts. Well, this is a modern one done by David Walliams. And we just lost the start of the DVD, I think. And it's the little boy's birthday, anyway. It's the little boy's birthday, and something's going to go disastrously wrong. So let's find out what.
Birthday, and Mummy arranged for Charlie and me to have a little party. Charlie loves singing, so Mummy said we could go to the market and buy a karaoke machine. So we went down there. I asked why it was so cheap and spelt wrong, but the man at the market said it was fine. Charlie is such a good singer, I let him go first. Charlie says he'll never buy fake electrical goods again.
Never buy fake electrical goods. Visit electricalsafetyfirst.org.uk/Charlie Says to find out more.
Meow, 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 meow.
Charlie says, pass this message on.
Pass it on. Don't buy fake electrical goods. That's a good message, isn't it? I don't think you were meant to be laughing when Charlie got an electric shock. There was a lot of people laughing there. Poor old Charlie. Beware of counterfeits. Every year it's the same. Christmas counterfeits all over the place. It's nothing new. There was a very dangerous fake the very first Christmas. The first Christmas counterfeit. I wonder what that was. Well, shall we find out? Let's find out. We're going to read the Bibles. We're going to open them up. Edwin's going to come and read to us from Matthew chapter 2. So you can be finding that as he comes. It's page 966. And we're going to read of the first Christmas counterfeit. A dangerous one.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And it's on page 966 in the church Bible. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly, then he called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Edwin. Bible tells us that Jesus is the king. That's what our passage tells us. He's the king of the Jews, verse 2. He is the Messiah, the Christ, God's chosen king, verse 4, the one born in Bethlehem. He is, verse 6, the ruler and the shepherd of his people. That is, he's the king. He's the king. He's the king. And in this passage, we read of two responses to King Jesus. One is foolish and the other one is wise. One is dangerous. The other one is safe. One is false and the other one is true. And there are two responses symbolized by these presents here. Two presents. They both look similar, don't they? Well, they don't appear to be very different at all. They both look nice. Do they look nice? Yeah, nice presents. Well, I wonder what's inside. Who would like to help me open the presents? Okay, you got your hand up first. And was that Tabitha got a hand up as well? Okay, so you can just wait there, Tabitha. You can come in a minute, okay? But let's look Leona first. Okay. There you go. You want to open that? You can come and stand up here. Okay, open it up. Yeah, are you so kind of gentle with the wrapping paper normally? I'm not like that. Okay. Right, okay. They're very gentle. What is it?
A box of non-real chocolate.
A box of heroes. Do you like heroes?
Never tried them.
You never tried them? Well, come on, try them. Open it up. Come on. Well, it's not.
I want to kill you.
What's in there? What does it say in there?
I want to kill you.
I want to kill you. Is that? That's terrible, isn't it? Well, it's disappointing for a start. There's no chocolates in it. No chocolates in it. And the message is, I want to kill you. I want to kill you. The picture of a dagger. That's terrible, isn't it? Well, thank you. You can go sit down now. Imagine getting a present like that. Okay, I'll come back to you in a second. Okay, you're very eager. That's enthusiasm for you. Yeah. Just hold on, Tabitha, I'll call you up in a sec. It'll be worth coming up, I tell you. Right, but that present is horrible. The outside looked okay. It looked quite nice. But what we found on the inside was not good. It looked like a real present, but it wasn't a real present. It was empty, it was a fake, and it's just like King Herod. He was disturbed by the news of a baby born as king. He was king as far as he was concerned. He didn't want anyone else to be king. Not even God, the Christ, God's chosen king. But did you notice that he pretended that he did? So he says to the wise men, go and find him. And then when you find him, come back to me so that I can go and worship him too. Did you see that? So he pretends that he does want him as king. But he didn't want to worship Jesus at all, did he? No. What did he want to do to Jesus? What did he want to do? What did Herod want to do to Jesus? Kill him. Kill him. And we read that later on as we go in Matthew's Gospel. He issues a death warrant for Jesus. Find the baby and kill him. Now, this is really important for us. It's shocking, but it's true. We can be like King Herod. We can. We can pretend to honor Jesus. We can pretend to celebrate his birth. We can say that we want to worship him in the carols that we sing. We can even come to church regularly. We can come to church every week. But on the inside, in our hearts, we can still be saying no to Jesus' rule. We don't like the idea of Jesus being in charge and Jesus telling us how we should live our lives. We don't like the idea of him being king. So the words on our lips might be, I worship you, Jesus, but the cry of our hearts is, I don't want you to be my king. Go away. Leave me alone. And that's what sin is, which we've mentioned already and we've sung about. It's something that we all have. All of us have that. All of us are born with a natural hostility to God and to his chosen King Jesus. That's a strange hostility, isn't it, when you think about it? As you read on in Matthew's Gospel and the other Gospels, you see just what a wonderful person Jesus is. He has all this power, and he always uses it for the good of other people. He is an amazing person. He's the best person ever. He offers eternal life to those who simply trust him. He doesn't say, do better, be religious, save yourself with 1,000 rituals. He says, I've come to save you. I'm giving my life for you. Here it is. Take it. What a wonderful person Jesus is. There's no one as brilliant as Jesus. And yet we just see all around us and in ourselves a resistance to him. Why are we so resistant to Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? And the answer is in our passage. It's because he comes to us as a king, as the king. And therefore he's a rival to our desire to rule ourselves. And that desire to rule ourselves is the reason that Jesus came. He came to save us from it, and to save us from the punishment we deserve for saying no to God's rule in our lives. And that was Jesus' mission. And it took him to the cross. The king went to the cross, and the king died for us, and the king suffered the punishment we deserve for saying no to his rule. He was abandoned by God. How astonishing that is, isn't it? That the king of the universe, the king, would stoop so low, come off his throne, come to this earth, even to death, to God-forsakenness in our place, so that we could be rescued. What a king. He's a servant king, a loving king. And he has come to rescue us from our rebellion against him. And that means that Herod was really stupid. He was foolish. Because in rejecting God's chosen king, he's rejecting God's rescue. And everyone who follows in Herod's footsteps is also foolish, the Bible says. Because by rejecting King Jesus, we're rejecting the rescue that he brings. We're rejecting and saying no to our only offer of peace with God, which is where true joy and happiness is found. That's a very dangerous thing to do, say no to Jesus. It's like signing our own death warrant. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God's just judgment on people who insist on going it alone is to give us what we ask for and to leave us alone. And to leave us alone forever. And the only way to escape God's judgment is to stop being a false worshipper, worshipping ourselves, or stop being a pretend worshipper, that's a worshipper who's still worshipping themselves but pretends not to worship Jesus, and to become a true worshipper. Which begs the question, what is a true worshipper? And that's where this second gift comes in. This gift can help us. So Tabitha, where's Tabitha? Now's the time to come and open this gift. Okay? Okay, do you want to come up? Good, good, good. Let's see what's in, shall we? So the first one, it was awful, wasn't it? Horrible, that first one. Shall we see? Do you need a hand? Are you all right?
All right.
You're all right. Right. Yeah, you're all right, aren't you? Yeah. What's in that? It looks similar, but it's a box of heroes. It's a box of heroes.
It's quite heavy.
So what does that mean then? It's got something in it. Let's have a look, shall we? Whoa! What's in that? It's full. It's full of chocolates. Let's look at Mum and Dad. Is she okay to have one? Yeah, there you go. You can have a chocolate. There you go. You take a chocolate. And you can go sit down now. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a real present. It's not a pretend present. It's not a false present. It is a real present. This present is like the wise men. It's different to the first present. They were very different to Herod, weren't they, the wise men? Herod was disturbed when he heard the news of a king. The wise men are overjoyed. They're overjoyed when they see the star. And when they saw the child, did you notice what they did? They bowed down and they worshipped him. That's amazing. These very, very important men on their faces, on the ground, before this tiny toddler. That's the right thing to do when you meet God. That's what you do to God. You bow down before him. That's amazing. And then they give him treasures, their gifts, which are fit for a king. So unlike Herod, they acknowledge Jesus as God and as king, their king. They're very different. And that's what true worship is. True worship is saying yes. Yes to Jesus as our king, giving him his rightful place in our lives, which is number one. Number one. And Tabitha didn't notice, but there is actually something else in this present, which I'll just... there you go. And I will come down here. What else is in there?
A mirror.
A mirror. And who's in the mirror? You! And if I look in there, I'm in there too. And if Tim looks in there, well, who's in there? Can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, you're in there. And if we passed it around, everyone would be in there. And true worship is the giving of ourselves. Giving ourselves to God. Giving ourselves to Jesus. Saying, Jesus, here's my life. It's yours. I'm yours. All of me is yours. And that's true worship. And it's wise. Saying yes to Jesus' rule is the wise thing to do. It's the way we receive what he came to give us. Forgiveness from God and friendship with God forever and ever. And it's the safe thing to do as well. Crowning Jesus as your king. It will bring difficulty and opposition in this life, won't it? Yes, but it will keep us safe on the great day that's coming, the day of judgment. And it will keep us safe beyond that into eternity. And the Bible says that those who submit to Jesus in this life will reign with him in the world to come, in the life of the world to come. Reign with him forever. That child on his mother's lap in verse 11 is God's chosen king. And he is still that today. The risen Lord Jesus is king. He is in charge. And one day, every single one of us is going to meet him as judge. And that's why it's so important to turn from living as if we're in charge and to submit to him and to give him our lives as our king. So in our passage, we've got two responses to King Jesus. We've got a good one and we've got a bad one. And they represent the attitude of every single human being to Jesus. We're either like King Herod, or we're like the wise men. We're either rejecting Jesus' rule, or we're accepting it, and we're giving ourselves to him. There's no third way. We're either one or the other. And what Matthew is saying to us as we read this is, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you like Herod, pretending to celebrate Christmas on the outside, while on the inside saying no to Jesus as king? Well, if you are, God says, that's a foolish thing to do. That's a dangerous thing to do, because you won't win. And it will end in misery. Don't be a fake. Be a wise man. Be a wise woman. Be a wise boy. Be a wise girl. Stop living for yourself. Start living for Christ. Happy. Very happy the person who sees that strange resistance within them to the most attractive person who's ever lived. And says, God, please help me. There's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with him. Please help me. Please save me. Please make me a true worshipper. Maybe you're like the Magi, the wise men. You're really worshipping Jesus as your king. Not just with your lips, but with your life. And if you are, the Bible says that's wise. And like the wise men, you ought to be overjoyed today. Because Jesus, your king, has rescued you. He has saved his people from their sin. He saved you from your sin. He has saved you from the kingdom of self, that miserable place, and he's brought you into his eternal kingdom, which is the kingdom of joy. And you will reign with Jesus forever. That's good, isn't it? That's worth celebrating today, isn't it? And if you are a real worshipper, if you're a Christian this morning, you will know in your experience how wonderful it is to be ruled and to be loved by the wonderful counselor, Jesus, the mighty God, Jesus, the everlasting Father, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. You'll know that. But we do forget it, don't we? You know, those of us who are Christians, we forget the wonder of Jesus as our King. Even those of us who do love Jesus, there's still something in us, we know, that doesn't like the fact that he's supreme. And that's going to be with us till the day we see him face to face and he makes us perfect like him. So, with his help, we need to keep fighting, keep fighting that desire to fight against him. And one of the ways we do that is to keep reminding ourselves of just how awesome he is. What a king he is. He's a sovereign king. That means he's in control. And we find true rest in him. He's a faithful king. You know that? He'll never leave us. Never. And he provides everything we need. And he's a loving king. He cares for us. He works for his people all the time, working for our good in everything. What a king. What a joy to be ruled by him. What happiness to obey everything he commands. So don't be conned. Self-rule is absolutely miserable. Christ's rule is absolutely glorious. So if you are a Christian, keep doing the wisest and the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. Keep worshipping Jesus. Keep submitting to him. Keep bowing down to him. Celebrating today and every day the King. If you're a Christian here today, that's what you're doing today, isn't it? Celebrating the King, right? That's what we're doing. Yeah? So we're not celebrating the presents. We're celebrating the King with the presents. We're not celebrating the food. We're celebrating the King with the food. And we're not celebrating family. That's a great gift. We're celebrating the King with the family and with the friends. It's all about the King. And the King is the one who brings great joy. Charlie says, avoid counterfeit electricals. Your life might depend on it. That's good advice, isn't it? Pass it on. But God says, Matthew 2, avoid counterfeit worship. Your eternal life will depend on it. It will depend on it. That's the best advice ever. Pass that on. So let's pray together. Gracious God, our Father, we do thank and praise you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that you didn't leave us in the mess that we've made when we rebelled against you, but you sent us a Savior, and we praise you for his successful mission. We thank you that he's Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you that Jesus was born into suffering. We thank you that Jesus, who suffered to overcome suffering. And we thank you that Jesus rose again as the promise and guarantee of a world, a future world without suffering. And so, Father, we pray for those who suffer in this fallen world. We pray for those who are prisoners, particularly those who find themselves in prison because of their faith in Christ, because of their obedience to King Jesus. Pray for the bereaved, those who are brokenhearted because of the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are weak and feel helpless. We pray for those who are despondent today and despairing and feel hopeless. And we pray for those who are old and frail. And we ask that, Father, in your compassion, you would draw near to each one. Particularly today, we want to think about those who are fleeing the war zones of the world, especially Syria. We do thank you that we've got places to live, we've got shelter, we've got homes to go back to today. We remember that your Son Jesus was a refugee with his parents, fleeing the violence of the tyrant Herod. So we do pray for refugees today. Lord, may they be protected when they journey. May they be welcomed when they arrive. And may they discover the hope found in Jesus, so that their weeping turns to joy. And we ask this in his name. Amen. And Father God, we pray for ourselves as we look on the suffering in the world. When we see it, we pray that we would be rightly angry because of the injustice that others suffer. May we be repentant because of the wrong we commit and contribute to the suffering. And may we be glad and joyful because of the salvation that Jesus secures. And we pray this and all our prayers in his name. And we bring them together by praying together the words of the Lord's Prayer. So let's humble ourselves before God and ask for his help as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.